I would say that somewhere along the line that other writers have tried. I can go back to say it was the time of this country when you knew things that was done, because Al Gabby and Glenn Murray were the ones who pushed people into the forefront. We have seen the transformation of the different technology, where nobody hears about these people, but they're still there. They're still alive. They made a substantial contribution back then, and they're still around. But somewhere along the line, the baton got dropped at a particular time in the lives of some of the people in Barbados who were not interested of these people, who were not interested. Nobody remembers, and I say this because they feel proud to say, nobody knows the day and what Gabby Scott has done for entertainment in this country, what Glenn Murray has done for entertainment in this country. And somewhere along the line, they know of what is there now. There has been a total neglect, and there has been a total neglect because the studies were done, but the studies were not presented. The studies were not put out there because of who the people were.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you very much for your call. And it's now 11:17, and we'll try to get a couple more calls. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
No. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, okay. Now, while I was waiting to get on the show to talk about what I did want to speak about, I was distracted by one guy who was complaining about the school children, and he said, he asked if white children weren't among that lot. Mm-hmm. Now, I do remember several years ago, when we were having a lot of bushfires of unknown origin, mm-hmm. two small, they look like teenagers, early teenagers, mm-hmm. two white boys were caught. They mm-hmm. went before the court, and they were discharged.
Yes, I remember.
They were discharged mm-hmm. before even a slap on the wrist, because this is the first time. Now, who knew it was the first time beside these two boys? Then I also go on to add about another caller who was talking about the schools, and he did list the name of some of the government best school and the private schools. But I'll also add, you don't ever hear or see anything like this coming out of the Adventist school. Sometime back, we had a problem at another school with a student and picking up paper. And I remember I came on the show and I said, if this child is disruptive, I think the place for her would be at the Adventist school. All the teachers are not Adventist, neither are the children who go there. But they have standing rules. And you don't, first, the girls wear the skirts below their knee, and they haven't got them in gold skirts where you can put them on as tight as you feel like. So I think we need to look at this thing in a more, what kind of manner would we say? But you get me where I'm coming from?
I get where you're coming from. So you're suggesting greater discipline at these, there's greater discipline at places like the Adventist school.
Exactly.
And you want to see that level of discipline at other schools. But what about the parents?
Nothing.
What about the role
it
of the parents?
It has nothing to do with the parents. Because when the parents are schooled, you get a leaflet telling you how these uniforms are supposed to be made and what length they're supposed to be at.
But clearly it's much more than uniforms. I mean, when you come to deal with behavior of children, it's more than just uniforms. It has a genesis somewhere.
I'll get to that. Now, you know, for a start, this school does not tolerate that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. So don't even think about it. When you get here, leave all that behavior at the gate. And you can take it up when you get home, but not on the streets of the uniform. You never hear about anyone complaining about having seen an Adventist girl, I don't know about the boys, in any kind of that kind of behavior on the street. Now, St. Winifred School, that's the guy mentioned, one of my daughters went there. I got a leaflet, uniforms, how they're supposed to be made, length and all that. One year, when I made the uniforms, the uniforms were supposed to be 3 inches below the knee and a 3-inch hem. Now, when I finished making these, when I was about to hem this uniform, I didn't get the 3 inches below, so I went for the 3-inch hem. The school fees, I was paying. But I got a circular one evening, came home to me, telling me not only to let down the hem, but to face it, that it would have that 3-inch hem. You understand me, Mr. You understand me?
I understand you, Mr. Price.
Standard. Now, what I want to talk about this morning, is about A&E department. But it's going to be a bit too long. So I'll go to some secretarial place and have this printed and distribute to the right people. I had a allergic reaction on Monday evening. But yesterday morning, I was no better. And everyone suggested I go to see the doctor. I said, okay. I was telling them where I want to go. They all said I should go to the A&E because if I go to the doctor, he's still going to send me to the A&E. I said to them, do whatever you feel like with me. Then I got there around 12:30 circa. There was a lady sitting in one corner, continuous oxygen. My daughter sat next to her, and I was next. After a while, I realized this lady was mumbling. I won't call her no lady yet. So when we got to talk to her, she said she was there from Monday in the evening. She went to the doctor on Monday morning, and he transferred her. He sent her to the QB for admission because of what he found was more serious than to send back home with some medication. She said she wasn't seen on Monday night. Tuesday morning, a doctor came to see her and told her she would have to be admitted. Now, I got there around that time I told you. Up until then, nobody else had come. Now, I was nebulized. And all this time, this lady is sitting there. And one time she said, I am so hungry. Immediately, I saw a nurse and I asked her. I said to her, this old lady here is hungry, because by then she told me her age. I said, is it possible that she can get something to eat? Because there's nothing over her head in red, nil by mouth. The nurse was very, very unkind. Not unkind, very non-nurses. So, however, she went and the doctor came out and said to the lady, no. And you are supposed to be admitted, and you have to wait until the other doctor comes. Now, I said to the nurse, excuse me, but she's also hungry because she left home yesterday morning, and she has had nothing to eat. I said, hey, thank God she's not diabetic. And in any case, her blood sugar has to have fallen by now. The doctor stormed off and told me her having had nothing to eat is not a doctor's business. I said, but the doctor should have gone on to the nurse and said, listen, that lady can have a meal until the doctor comes or nil by mouth and set up a drip. One nurse came and she was so offensive. She was talking to two other patients on the other side. I said, excuse me, no reply, nurse, everything else. And she walked away. When she walked away, I said to her, excuse me, staff.
All right.
And I explained to her the procedure. Now, don't tell me anything, I am really, really mad. Then I said to her, look, this lady is sitting there. You're supposed to be observant. Haven't anybody noticed that she's not eating anything and she isn't moving from side there? I said, let me tell you something. I will call nursing officer. I will go down there and complain for you. She said to me, well, that won't work. Things have changed since then. I said, really? Now, I won't go on to tell you the other details.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, another doctor came out. They went in and discussed the thing. And you know, at the workplace, one person offends you. Everybody or most people have their own biased attitude. And I think that anyone coming to me should have come to me with an unbiased attitude. I waited there all the time, and I wasn't seeing the guy next to me. He said he was there all day, hasn't been seen. Next time he's going to bring a meal. I said, hey, you better bring a snack. Eventually, the nurse went and told a doctor something. This doctor came and said she was on the ward making rounds, and she is now seeing this lady. Eventually, she asked the lady, she was questioning this patient. And you know, two of the questions she asked this patient, do you have running water at home? Do you have electricity? He said, well, what is that to do with price of gas? She said, these are routine patients. I said, no, you ask patients, what are the complaints? Leave that to the social workers when they're going home.
All right. I allowed you to go on and go on because I wanted, what eventually happened? Were you attended to?
Eventually happened. A nurse came. I said, something.
You got to be brief here now because I really gave you a lot of time.
But I get people getting more time talk about irrelevancies. And I'll try to be as short as I can be. This nurse eventually came and brought the lady a cup of tea. Huh, we ain't got no milk. She didn't even squeeze the tea bag out, but wrapped it around the spoon. Huh, we ain't got no milk. Now go someplace else and get some milk. Eventually, I asked about a meal. And after much ado, because I'm going to put this into print. After much ado, a nurse brought a meal and gave the lady. She plopped the tray in the lady's lap. She never looked to see if it was right or left. When we uncovered the tray, the soup, the cup, was on the left-hand side. And the, whatever to be supposed to be on the right, she had put the right the tray down the wrong way. Eventually, somebody came to see her again. Now, I was rude. So, anyhow, when the lady said to, the patient said to this doctor, your clothes are too tight. She said, you are extremely rude. The patient asked me, what do you think? I said, lady, there are two people you don't quarrel with, and that is your doctor and your cook. I have nothing to say.
All right. The point is you're going to put this all in writing, you said, and complain to the authorities about it. Because
they're here. Then eventually...
Hello. No. We can't go back down there because I really allowed you to go on really, really too long. Okay? But I understand because since you've been talking, people have been writing in here on WhatsApp saying that this is standard behavior. And really and truly, what you are exposing is a situation that is not good enough. But there are two sides to the story. So that is what you are saying. I also read what they're saying, but we should also hear from the A&E personnel what could be happening here. I would strongly suggest that what you should do is to put it in writing and make sure it gets to the chief executive officer and maybe the chief nursing officer as well, so you can make a full complaint of what happened. Thank you very much for your call. We have to go to a commercial break. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. One of the big stories, I'm sure we're going to hear much more in the latest about this, and this relates to the deal between Simpson Oil Limited, or SOL, and Parkland Fuel Corporation. Parkland is Canada's largest and one of North America's fastest growing independent marketers of fuel and petroleum products and leading convenience store operator. And they have struck a deal with SOL, and the transaction will result in Parkland acquiring 75% of the issued and outstanding shares of the capital of SIL, and SIL is SOL Investments Limited, and for a total consideration of, listen, US $1.21 billion. So I think we're going to hear from in the latest what all this means in terms of SOL expanding and also how this would impact on maybe our level of distribution of petroleum products here in the Barbados. And this is important given what is happening with PetroTrain. You know that we have, we being the Barbados government, has indicated that they will be looking for another supplier given the fact that PetroTrain is supposed to be closed. I mean, there was an injunction yesterday or day before stopping that process. But be that as it may, the Barbados government indicated a week or two ago that they'll be looking for another supplier given the uncertainty now over PetroTrain. So we have to see how this deal that SOL is putting together will impact on that, or if it would have any implications at all. Anyhow, we go back to our phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I heard a gentleman was talking about the children, but he was saying one set of children. But let me tell you, it's the big name schools that involve in the fighting too. Queen's College, Combermere Foundation, Harrison College, Lodge, and St. Michael's School. All of them is be involved. They're in the school that could tell them one that one better than one worse than the next. Because all of them involved in this fighting.
It is not the schools, it's the children. And I would really like us to stay away from the calling the school names, because we don't need to drag our schools down through the mud like that. I think the real issue is here. Why are the children behaving this year way, and what can be done to reverse what is happening? Because I'm sure you don't like what you're seeing,
Mr. Price. Does about dragging the nails. When is the schools? Well, when you hear Parkinson School, I think people be call out the nails and think, well, you can't call the big name school. All of them involved in the fighting. They're not different to the next. That's what I'm saying.
And I take your point.
Mm-hmm. Now, my next thing, mm-hmm. It is time I play cricket in classes, clear women's team. It is time enough.
You play cricket, Miss Undecided?
Yes, I play.
So you're a bowler or batsman, or you're all rounder?
I was an all rounder. Anyhow, and but me know about classes clear. It's time to recognize classes clear. He done a lot. And I mean, there's only pick up certain names and get a sir. They need to put sir onto classes clear name and maybe name a building in his name. It's time now for November. Try and get him on something. He done a lot for Barbados.
All right.
He do more than that sample like that, sir. Anyhow, my next thing too, you know, they say the children will be copying things from outside. But look at the adults too. Adults is copy things that cannot work in Barbados and bring it here. For example, mm-hmm. that Uber taxi thing, that will never work in Barbados.
Uber. But why wouldn't work in Barbados? There's something like that works. It's called beep something. I really can't remember the name of it. But the minister never said that he was thinking of bringing it. He said Uber-like business, okay?
Uber-like?
Yes. In other words, using... Hold a second. All right, because I know how we tend to run off. We hear certain things and we run off and we don't get the facts. He said an Uber-like business, one. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing, it works off an app, all right? As long as you have the app on your phone or your tablet or wherever, you can contact the company. The association, because like here we can have a number of associations as there are that do, you know, taxi associations as exist now, and they could be connected to the app. And what it means is that the driver closest to you from one of those associations that are working along with those who are on this app will come to you. You would know, for example, that Dennis Johnson is driving M103, and he's coming to you. The car is a Mercedes, and he's coming to you, and you have a picture of Dennis and his car number, and you know exactly how much the fare is. You pay by credit card, all right? So there's no exchange at all of cash. So, and of course, because the whole thing is done through that system, there is no way this person who's coming for you that can carry you away or anything like that. So there's a level of safety involved. All right? So what the minister was suggesting is that type of approach, that type of app would be good. Now, the next point, which he didn't mention, but which I am mentioning, is that when people come from overseas here, and we're talking about the United States in particular and Europe, where you have that facility to, because Uber is just one, but there are a number of them. There's Lyft, there's Go, I can go something, but there are a number of them. Well, when they come here, they're also looking to use those services because, one, of the safety aspect, two, because it generally costs a little less than the average taxi, and it works much more efficiently as well. Okay.
Uh-huh. Are you spinning on me?
It's not
that
spin.
That ain't working with me. You
it
spin,
is not
yeah,
spin.
You, yes.
Because I use the service
light,
when I'm in the United States.
That
okay.
Urban light is the same thing as Uber. The same thing that you're saying, the same thing Uber is be doing. You have to pay online with a credit card. The taxi men do not handle no money. They get paid on Friday weekend, and they have to use they have to be responsible for certain things with the car. At the end of Urban Light, this thing is the same Urban. So don't tell me no Urban Light is the same Urban. They're doing the same thing as Urban doing. So don't come tell me about no Urban Light.
You clearly don't understand me.
I don't read it, you know.
Clearly, you do not understand what I'm saying. But look, you go have a nice day here.
No. You won't come and trap me. Well, but you can't trap me.
I am not trying to trap you. All I was trying to do is to clarify it and explain it. Because you clearly don't. You heard Uber, like a lot of people, and he's. Because I went back to find out exactly what he said, because I could not believe he would have said, bring Uber here to Barbados, because it doesn't make sense. We don't have the market for it. And we already have a lot of taxis here. And it would be best if they could be organized to become more efficient and to guarantee that they can make even more money. Because if you have an efficient taxi service where safety is more guaranteed, you would find that a lot more people would use that taxi service. Okay?
No, but you see, it will be working.
Of us
Uber.
Don't like to look at the big picture. We just hear one thing and we run off with it. And that's
not
you clearly
Pavis,
doing.
No, Mr. Thing. It will be working like Uber and it will cut out some of the Zella men, that people that is get jobs.
Zella has nothing to do with it.
No, it will be working like Uber. Don't tell me that. It will be working like Uber. It will be working like Uber.
Have a good day.
So don't tell me anything different.
All right. I certainly wouldn't.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. You too. All right. This person here is writing, discipline is key in terms of behavior of children today, because I remember my days at Christ Church Foundation when Major Hugh Barker was principal and there were fights. One person only had to shout, Major Barker coming. And in seconds, the place was cleared. Not a boy left standing. And in fact, we have so many responses to the whole thing about this behavior of children. But a lot of people are very, very concerned about what the parents are doing. And they feel that the parents have a large responsibility in all this. But the problem is that a lot of the parents also have that similar attitude of just wanting to fight. If there's a disagreement, there's no level of communication. And the only way they can communicate is with their fists or swearing. And if a child grows up in that environment, well, they would respond similarly. This other person here is saying, it's not the only thing, but parental standard and expectation and student accountability to parents should go a long way to pulling back the behavior amongst children. Anyhow, we go back to our phone lines. It's 11:48. Remember, we break for 11:55 for the latest.
Mr. Price.
Price.
Mr. Price.
How are you today?
I good. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm glad to come back. I'm glad enough to get you back. Mr. Price, let me tell you something. People talking, see? It ain't me and not you. It is all of us in this together. My solution for these children is to get one of these places that they got there that they ain't using and put them there with some of the Defense Force men or some of them same people at the liaison officer scheme. Let me tell you something. All the schools is the same thing. They got some sly and some open. Look, then the moment I was the 7 days, I was at a school. And we get a boy in at the start from the 7 days to get enough trouble. And they bring the same attitude at the school I was at. So it ain't me and not you. It is all of us in this together. And the parents got a lot to do with it. You talking, want to talk about going to counseling, not you. Now let me blame you. If my child get the children, she going to school, and she got a guidance counselor, there's a place I can tell her before the Catholic, everybody knows she was a child. Look, she there, look yonder. Let me tell you something. I always tell my children, anything happened to her, just get some paper and come home to me, and I will be with it. Don't get in the guidance counselor. Don't get in none of them. Because if you think it done that, it gone further. It's gone. And next thing these parents doing, cell phones. You will scare children to sit the 11 plus exam, and you're going to tell that child, if you don't pass for Queen's College and Harrison, I ain't getting you what I promised you. And therefore, they're still ain't getting the child because they ain't got the money to get them. Mr. President, I got the solution for it. I was at a school, and it wasn't easy. I know it worse. These children rebelling. You know why? Caught it in the house, and some of the same parents doing the same thing the children doing. And somebody here, take out your compass and jerk out the area. The police is but human like anybody. You know how much police got run to these schools with the vans when the day come? It is just that you sitting down in the studio, and they home, and they going to town. But you let's see it every day. So Mr. President, anybody come there and tell you not this school at all. You answer them? You know we had a school down Basketball. Wait, Mandy. Oh, Lord, the school in Basketball.
Alma Paris. You mean Alma Paris? Mm-hmm.
I think it was the base school over there that one.
Aileen?
No, I think Aileen.
Right.
There was a school.
I don't know the name of the school. You just go ahead.
And the thing is about it, you should see the children in the morning come up at the Ministry of Education waiting for the bus. Queen's College, come and meet all of them getting up on that bus. Gotta go get there the proper thing for that bus to get on Basketball. Then some of them transfer to the school there in Warren. They're overcrowded. Opens one of these schools, like the buildings that we got closed that belong to the government. Get somebody to work with them. These children will come out real good because in the home, I was teaching you now, Mr. Price, and you go back home. You pick up the same train that you come in with this morning. You ain't going to be no better because you're going to hear the cussing. You're going to hear the joking. You're going to hear all kinds of things. What will you say to you?
We really have a problem here then, huh? All right, we'll have to take a break. We'll be going to the commercial break, and then we go to the regional roundup. And I suspect before we come back, we will also hear what's happening for the Super 50 cricket coverage. The last two times that we broke, each time Barbados lost a wicket. So the last time was Barbados 101 for 6, Barbados Pride against the CCC Marooners. So we'll take a commercial break, and then we'll go on to the regional roundup, and then we'll be right back.